If you're ready to dominate the personal injury arena and champion your firm, join me at PIMCon, the first ever official PIM conference. Conquer marketing, network with titans, celebrate excellence, and go for the gold this September in Scottsdale at the 5-star Phoenician Resort. Secure your place among the elite. Reserve your all-access pass into the winner's circle at PIMCon.org, where we take you from good to GOAT. All right, let's get on with the show.
We're about 6,400 open matters. I know exactly what that case cost.
Welcome to Personal Injury Mastermind. I'm your host, Chris Dreyer, founder and CEO of Rankings.io, the legal marketing company the best firms hire when they want the rankings, traffic, and cases other law firm marketing agencies can't deliver. Each week, you get insights and wisdom from some of the best in the industry. Do me a favor and hit that follow button right now to subscribe. You'll be the first to get every new episode delivered straight to you the moment it drops, giving you the edge. All right, let's dive in. What fuels a personal injury law firm that has recovered over $1 billion for over 50,000 clients? Sustained excellence and fierce determination spanning nearly 30 years. A super lawyer for the past 15 years, Angel Reyes has built the Reyes Brown firm into a Texas powerhouse in auto and trucking cases. With over 8,000 Google reviews, he leverages a $4 plus million annual marketing budget to sign over 200 new cases every month. On today's episode, get the keys to Reyes' enduring impact, the pivotal role of digital marketing, the power of reviews for generating clients, and how filling the right seats with the right people drives growth. Here's Angel Reyes, CEO of the Reyes Brown Law Firm.
The first time that I really thought about becoming a lawyer was after my sophomore year in college. I had a couple of professors that kind of just planted the seed with me. Junior year, you kind of get ready to take the LSAT, and then your senior year, you start doing applications. I got very, very fortunate. I got into a whole bunch of really good law schools. You know, the rest, as they say, is history. There's a lot more to the story, but that's the first time that I really thought about it. And it's not like I spent a lot of time with professors in college. I mean, this was a passing comment, but somehow I said to myself, you know, I don't know if this BA is going to take me too far in the salary ladder. So maybe I should think about this grad school idea. And that's what I did.
Amazing. Amazing. So they didn't catch you, you know, you're arguing a bunch and they're like, oh, you should be at
not really. These were classes where were largely papers driven, meaning, you know, a couple of papers a semester. And I think maybe that somebody saw that I was a decent writer. I dare say there's no arguing in law school.
You know, I'm going to fast forward just a bunch. Your firm has grown incredibly, and you handle a high volume of cases at any time. You could have 3,000, you get a few hundred or more every month. I kind of want to start a little bit differently just from an operational perspective, because you know, the solo practitioner, they're focused on how can I manage this small volume of cases. So
yeah, of course.
Tell me how your operations has evolved and how you're handling the amount of cases at any given point.
We're a 31-year overnight sensation. The firm started with just me and a friend of mine from law school. We were working at a big firm in Dallas. I originally started at an old Wall Street firm, Carter Ledyard in Melbourne. And I moved to Texas thinking, better weather, get out of these winters. And within 6 months, my buddy and I hatched a plan to leave. We were young, we were naive, but we also didn't have any responsibilities. About 9 months later, he got married, moved. And I stayed. I never let it go. I'm like the guy on the monkey bars that just outlasts everybody, right? In those early days, it was just he and I. We ended up hiring a couple of folks, but only because we settled a case. We got a $33,333.33 fee. So it was a $100,000 settlement. I convinced him to put $25,000 of that on Univision. I was the first lawyer in America to advertise on Univision. And it was a very big deal. They had to go to their board of directors. This is 1992. They wanted Toyota and Ford to advertise on their station. They certainly didn't want a bunch of lawyers, but we convinced them to do it. And all of a sudden, we started getting a lot of clients because, well, gosh, starting in the early 90s, Texas became an immigration magnet. And a lot of Spanish speakers were coming here. My family both lived and is from Puerto Rico. I speak Spanish. without intention, that's how we started. But since then, you know, we started adding lawyers, we started adding staff, we started representing more and more people. High watermark right now, probably we're about 6,400 open matters. And that takes a small army. 265 people work here, 20 lawyers work here. We've got a huge litigation docket. In fact, 70% of our cases are filed lawsuits. It takes more than just me managing. We're structured like a business probably ought to be. I'm the CEO and president. I have a COO, very talented executive, had scaled two companies before he ever landed here to $500 million in revenue. He didn't do that in the law space, but he did it in sales type businesses. And, you know, ultimately, personal injury firms, whether they like it or not, they're first and foremost a sales organization. And then after that, they're a service organization. We don't get a lot of sticky clients, right? If you're a sticky client, you got some really bad luck. And when it's mostly one and done, you're a sales organization first and foremost. And then you got to deliver on the service piece. And so to manage that service piece, I've got a CEO, a CMO, director of digital. I got a director of social, which is digital, but it's different than the digital that we call digital. It's Google, Bing, et cetera. Search, paid search. I luckily have C-level folks in all the right positions, including a CFO, including a controller, because there's really no other way to manage the number of checks we write, the number of clients we exit. I mean, we'll exit 400 clients in a month. You get $1,200 client, or you get, you know, $4 million client and everything in between. You know, we very rarely get those big extreme fees, but we get them sometimes. It's a big management task. There's no secret to it. All of us still work long days. It's rare that I'd work less than 55 hours a week. There's real management here. And we have paraprofessionals that manage entire teams of other paraprofessionals. We have trainers. You have to when you're doing it at the pace we're doing it at. So, you know, you gotta keep the wheels on. And that means you got some really good people helping you out.
There's so much done back here.
What do the constraints look like for you now? Is there bottlenecks on delivery, maybe getting the case, the throughput? What are some of the main challenges at your size now, as opposed to, you know, solos just trying to get the leads, right?
Yeah, right. Believing that everybody is giving best efforts is a little bit of a challenge, to be honest with you. When there's that many folks, you know, you don't necessarily know everyone's name. You can see them on an org chart. You try to help the managers hold their teams accountable. That's a challenge, believe it or not, just believing that everyone's doing their part. So and hiring can be a challenge too. We're in a position where we can overhire. So what we'll do is maybe we'll bring on 10 people to help gather records, right? But in 90 days, maybe only five or six will still be with us, because we'll just kind of decide who's hitting what we measure them by. And if they're hitting it, we keep them. If they're not, we, you know, tell them thanks for hanging out with us for a bit, but we're gonna move another direction. So hiring is a little bit of a challenge. There's always some churn. And even if it's 20%, it's still 40, 50 people. That's a couple, four or five people a month need to get hired, no matter what. Another thing that we've kind of noticed is that young lawyers are still struggling with whether they want jobs or careers. They really want to work 9 to 5. And that'll keep you a job, but it will not build a career. This is a demanding mistress, this legal practice. And if you want to get good at it, you're going to have to put some hours in. So, I want to work from home, but it's always on Friday. That young lawyers are trying to explore work-life balance. And I don't know, I'm not sure you can have a career and be like perfectly work-life balanced.
Yeah, that work-life balance, that's definitely a myth. Like, there's just not balance, right?
I don't know if it's a full, like, is it a myth? I mean, I don't know. It's a goal, right? I mean, it's a goal. And that's okay to have goals. And it's okay, you know, I'm not suggesting that you ignore your family or never take a vacation. That's not where we're at here. If you work 9-10 hours a day, in order to have that much life, you would sleep 3 or 4 hours a night. And I don't know if there's too many people that can manage that. So it's necessarily imbalanced. You know, you're going to have to spend some time in the office to get good at this work.
I couldn't agree more. I think my audience is probably chomping at the bit for me to ask about marketing and originating cases. You know, one thing I want to point out before we even jump into this is you've got like 8,000 reviews and Google reviews. That's what caught my eye. And that's why I reached out because they're so incredibly important for, you know, from a search engine marketing perspective, from the social proof perspective.
And, for sure. And you also mention, hey, you've got an in-house director of digital. You've got an in-house this. You got an in-house this.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your approach and your thoughts on marketing and at your current state, because you certainly have more capital to deploy and more options.
Sure.
How do you think about marketing?
I started out TV and I did it until about 3 years ago. And then I decided, you know, I'm going to go all in. I'm tired of doing the straddle. I'm tired of spending, you know, some millions on TV and millions on digital. About 5 years ago, we got a new database, and the new database could just do a lot more than our old one. And we could measure a lot more things. And one of the things we could really measure was attribution. We used a whole lot of webhooks, and it dumped right into Salesforce, and it told us where did we get the case? Because we use a unique number for every single ad we do ever. We knew the TV wasn't working. Now, I know there's some folks that swear by TV still. And in small markets, maybe it still does work. Dallas, third largest metro in the country. And I don't think it works here anymore. I'm a big believer that you shouldn't spend any money on TV, that you should spend all your money on digital. To start, you need to do paid, Google and Bing. I guess it's sort of in the mix a little. I think that if you're starting out, you'd be well advised to stick with the digital lane. One, you can measure it. Two, you can control it. If you decided I've spent my budget tomorrow, you can stop spending. You just tell them, okay, done. And you know, if you need a few weeks to kind of recover from that, then you can kick back off anytime you want. TV doesn't work like that. You got to prepay 30 days in advance. You never know how many leads you're going to get. But when you start measuring it, I started realizing that certainly for us, our experience was TV leads were too expensive. So we went all digital about 5 years ago, largely because the database helped us measure it really well. We also use an Invoca call software, which essentially does the attribution for us, right? Because it'll give a unique number to every single ad we have out there. And so via a unique number and a Google Tag Managers and things like that, we're able to find out where we get our cases. And digital was significantly more cost effective than TV was. My sort of, I guess, to the extent that anyone's looking for advice, stay in the digital lane. That's definitely where the action is. And it's where the future is. I don't even think brands matter anymore. I think that people Google best accident lawyer or highest reviewed accident lawyer, things like that. And that inures to our benefit. We've worked for over a decade building, you know, our Google reviews. It takes a lot of follow-up. We have a whole team. That's what they do. They keep dropping the link into, you know, their text. We're able to text our clients from our desktops because the Salesforce platform legal database allows for that. It's another API that we use, and it allows us to keep communicating with clients as long as we want. Our open read rate on a text is something like 88%.
That's incredible.
The only folks who don't open a text, they just either don't care or don't maybe even still have a flip phone. I mean,
right. You know, that's exactly what I went to. Still rocking the flip phone for an emergency.
They're totally out there, man. They're out there though. That's one of the ways that we keep reminding people, hey, haven't got that review you promised us. Here's the link again, you know, and you do that enough times and you can roll up pretty big numbers over time. You know, Google doesn't count all of them. It's easy for me to sit here with 8,000 reviews and be like, it is what it is. No big deal. But boy, with someone that didn't get that five they really wanted, that's probably pretty aggravating if I had to guess.
If you're ready to dominate the personal injury arena and champion your firm, join me at PIMCon, the first ever official PIM conference. Conquer marketing, network with titans, celebrate excellence, and go for the gold this September in Scottsdale at the 5-star Phoenician Resort. Secure your place among the elite. Reserve your all-access pass into the winner's circle at pimcon.org, where we take you from good to goat. All right, let's get on with the show. How do you see OTT and streaming? Is that a digital play? Do you still look at that as traditional? I know all the local TV stations are trying to sell it.
Yeah, we've experimented with it, not successfully yet. I think that in the next 5 or so years, it might be something we revisit. Largely because our research tells us if you're under 35, and that's a significant part of our clientele now, it's highly likely that you've never watched broadcast TV. Never.
Yeah.
Maybe a football game. Maybe you watch the Super Bowl, you know, CBS. But literally, you don't watch it. And the only people watching broadcast TV during the weekdays and or prime time are basically the Fox News crowd, and they're over 65. And you know, I personally don't want to rule out 85% of America, which is what you'd be doing. The cords have been cut. That ship sailed. We're not bullish at all on broadcast TV, but OTT could make a difference. If you want to pay the lesser rate for Netflix and suffer commercials, you know, that's probably likely our clientele. That's what they're doing. But really what we found is most of our clientele will turn to Google. I call it digital video. A lot of our clients are using YouTube. That's how they watch everything. It's kind of hard to get in front of them though, because there's no concentrated audience. You know, there is no you're guaranteed 800,000 eyeballs this 22 minutes of broadcast TV. There's none of that, right? So it's kind of hard to pin it. You know, we've got Google so dialed in, and even social, you know, Facebook and Instagram dialed in, that they're bringing us cases for the right amount of money, and we can help a lot of people every month. We can't keep them all. You know, we lose some cases, fall apart from bad facts, no insurance, things like that. But generally speaking, you know, we'll keep 80% of what we sign up.
And I applaud you, you know, for the attention arbitrage game that you're playing and being out ahead of the game, right? Because you're right. The eyeballs have shifted to different locations.
I think that's right. I mean, I'm not trying to be right or dogmatic about it. If other folks have data that supports TV spend, you know, great, go for it. We didn't. So we shifted to digital, and boy, I'm never looking back. Never looking back. It's literally like four times cheaper for us.
Yeah, I'll tell you too. And you weren't just dabbling in TV. So you had some real data and real spends.
We were, you know, there were several years where we spent at least $6 million in Dallas market. You know, it was a combination of Spanish and English, but nevertheless, it's a fairly big number. You're talking $500,000 a month on television. That's pretty serious, but it just wasn't delivered. So we ended up doubling down and spending twice that much on Google, and it worked out pretty well.
When you're saying Google, you're saying the full gambit, the LSA, the Google Ads, search, maps.
GMB. I mean, I'm not really counting like what I call organic search. It's so far down. I'm really counting, you know, your paid ads, your LSAs. LSAs are highly dependent on reviews, highly dependent. And, you know, your GMB page, your profile, et cetera. People find you that way too. And though collectively, you know, in the Google universe, we're definitely all in, and it's working pretty well. And I think it's just because most people just pick the phone up and Google stuff like I just mentioned earlier.
And I imagine from what I've seen, tying into Salesforce for your Google ads, you get to tie it directly to the cases to let the AI run against the similar scenarios.
I know exactly what that case cost.
Yep.
I mean, just do. And I know exactly which campaigns to turn off. You know, when all of a sudden when that ad is generating a, you know, 3,500 cost per case, I'm gonna turn it off. It's too much. You know, we need to be lower than that.
Yeah, and I guess some of those asynchronous, you know, the big cases kind of balance that out when you do overpay a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, those you can't plan a business around those cases, so we just plan them around what we consider the value of a car wreck fee to be. I mean, that's how we do it.
Everyone wants those trucking cases, right? And it seems like everyone, you know, especially San Antonio, they're blasting the TV ads, standing on the trucks, trying to get those trucking cases. Have you found success through search, through digital, getting the big 18-wheeler, the big rig, the commercial van type stuff?
Yeah, we do. I'd be willing to bet. One, I don't think it's a bad strategy to only focus on trucks, company cars, 18-wheelers, because I don't think that a person who sees this ad in whatever form, television, digital, YouTube, you name it, is going to say, oh, I wasn't in an 18-wheeler wreck, so I better not call them. I don't think you get ruled out by sort of presenting yourself as the big truck guy or gal. I would be willing to bet, though, that our averages are exactly what theirs are. 14% of our cases have commercial insurance. And I'll bet you that that's what theirs are too. Because the net gets cast and it's mostly, let's say, minnows. And every once in a while, you'll have a tuna or a grouper in there, right? And metaphorically, you know, that's like a car crash where there's some injuries versus an 18-wheeler where there's catastrophic injuries. There's only so many of them, man. And I believe that our numbers are big enough, 55,000 former clients. We can say that, yeah, that history says about 14% of those cases end up with commercial insurance. And that's just the, I don't want to say luck of the draw, but that's what statistics tells us.
This is what I hear from our clients or other attorneys. They say, oh, the big cases come from the brand. And you're saying, look, we 5 years ago, we shifted all to digital. And of course, we're focused on our positioning and reputation, but you're getting that 14%.
Yeah. And it didn't matter. I think it's because these days, if you Google anything about lawyers and accidents, you're going to get five or six sponsored ads. You'll have competitors bid on your name. And they'll be below you as long as you're bidding on your own name, but there'd still be a sponsored ad. And you know, people will just click, click, click until the fastest person answers their phone. These are urgent calls. These are not contemplative. Oh, I think I'll do my research. You know, you might, if you want to pretend that that's what these clients are doing, feel free. I'm going to argue that that's not what they're doing. That they're literally, the minute they sit down after that car wreck, they're saying, I'm going to get a lawyer to help me with this. Because it doesn't matter who answers the phone. If you can help with a car wreck, doesn't, you know, whether it was a brand or no brand. And that's why I think that there's so many people coming into the space, because brands don't matter. If brands matter so much, there would be no new entrants. Think about how hard it is to be a non-branded entrant. But guess what? You probably already know this. More and more lawyers are getting into auto and truck wreck space than ever. And I think that is a direct reflection, and it correlates to brands not meaning nearly as much as people thought or think they do.
I agree 1,000%. I think until there's a consolidation, right, that's happened in dental and some of the other spaces like funeral homes, until that happens, I think it's the Wild West.
So when do you think that'll happen?
I think it's a long way out. You know, I saw tech advancements in COVID, right? We saw advances. Yeah. We saw Zoom depots and things like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and like, just to get people, right. And I think that shifted and transitioned things. But now, even with AI, and I just think that legal is a little bit slower to adapt. And
it is.
So maybe 5-10 years would be my guess.
That's kind of my guess. I do think that slowly but surely the walls are getting knocked down between non-lawyer ownership of law firms. Washington, D.C. allows it, and Arizona.
Yeah.
Texas actually just did a vote, and it barely lost. You know, they'll keep trying. You know, the money's always going to be knocking on the door. And so they'll keep coming back every couple of years. And I think that eventually the door is going to open. The ABA will probably soften up because some of the big firms will say, you know, we want to buy PricewaterhouseCooper, and we're going to merge it with, let's say, Weil Gotshal. You know, so big law, big accounting. We're going to merge this together, and we're going to really be able to help corporate America. And that's where laws get made, man. When you can help corporate America, Congress tends to move. And so, you know, who knows? Maybe it'll be, you know, some sort of, you know, lifting nationally and or pressure on the ABA to get rid of that restriction. And I think there's plenty of pressure, and I think it's just a matter of time. I just don't know how much time. You might be right. Maybe it's 10 years. We do believe that private equity is going to be moving into this space, looking to do roll-ups. And I think it's especially injury firms are probably going to be some of the first firms to allow outside equity in, because, you know, imagine what you could do if you had an equity partner that wasn't a lawyer. I mean, you got to answer to the equity, that's for sure. If you've got a funder, you better pay attention. But, you know, that's just, I don't know, that's just, it's been the nature of business. And you already mentioned, you know, dentists, vets, doctors, they've all been rolled up, so to speak. And I don't know why we would think that we're so special that we won't be. I think we probably will be. Just a matter of time.
Yeah, I completely agree. One final question. Where can our audiences, where can they go to connect with you?
Yeah, the easiest place to connect with us would be either my email address, which is angel@reyeslaw.com, or our website, which is www.reyeslaw.com. We are way, way open to showing and telling people how we do it, largely because we don't think we're perfect. We know we can improve. all along the margins and maybe even in the middle. And so, you know, we're always looking, you know, to share best practices, talk to folks in other places. We're very open to people reaching out at any level. Certainly you need help in Texas, happy to do it. And if you need, you know, a pleading in Texas, we probably have it. You know, we've litigated, oh my God, I don't know. We've literally filed like 30,000 lawsuits in the last 20 years. You have to file lawsuits in Texas now. You can't really do right by your client without doing that. And we try to walk the walk, not just talk the talk.
There was a lot to take in from today's conversation, so let's hit the recap. Time for the pinpoints. Know your numbers. You need to understand how ad spend impacts your acquisition costs. Measure the impact of each channel and reallocate dollars to the channels providing the best return. For digital, tools like webhooks, unique numbers per ad, and call analytics software can help paint a clear picture. For Angel, knowing his numbers meant he ditched TV entirely.
I know exactly what that case cost, and I know exactly which campaigns to turn off.
Be relentless. Ask for reviews more than once. Reviews add up over time and serve a dual purpose. They are excellent social proof and help you rank in Google Local Service ads and the Google Map Pack. If you have a limited budget, prioritize referral capture over brand play. Oh, and pick up the phone.
Because it doesn't matter who answers the phone. If you can help with a car wreck, these are urgent calls.
Don't go it alone. Reyes executives allow him to focus on strategy. Freed from operations, he leverages experts to serve more clients. If you're expanding, consider a specialist team. It can take you far.
We're about 6,400 open matters. That takes a small army. I've got a CEO, a CMO, director of digital, director of social, including a CFO, including a controller, because there's really no other way to manage the number of checks we write, the number of clients we exit. I mean, we'll exit 400 clients in a month.
For more information about Angel, check out the show notes. Before you go, do me a solid and smash that follow button to subscribe if you haven't already. I sincerely appreciate it, and I know you won't want to miss out on our next episode, a personal injury mastermind with me, Chris Dreyer, founder and CEO of Rankings.io. All right, everybody, thanks for hanging out. See you next time. I'm out.